Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an APP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP, and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, Jenny Brewski looks strangely questioningly at Tony Brewski as he buys a bag of little corpses at a hardware store.
Oh, are you talking about the shrimp?
I'm talking about the shrimp. Yes, we have your calls today on the show, by the way. Your calls at 855-853-4802. Yes, earlier in the day, we went, it's a large hardware store. It's like a Lowe's or a Home Depot, but it's a different one. And they also have other items there that are beyond like just home repair. There's like a food section. And there's a little freezer. And right now, getting near the holidays, there's bags of shrimp in there. And normally I don't buy frozen foods at the hardware store. But I saw something that I'm like, and I know my food pretty well as far as what it looks correct and doesn't look correct.
Sure.
And quite honestly, I saw them. I'm like, those actually look really good. They look better than most of them that I've seen at the grocery store lately that look like they've been handled improperly. That's when you see all the frost on shrimp. It's because they've been thawed. It's along some way of the travel from the manufacturer to the grocery store.
Okay.
That's how that's, or it's just been in there forever. And these looked really good. And I thought, wow. And I told Jenny, I said, we should get our shrimp for Christmas at the hardware store. And you're like, I'm not getting hardware store shrimp.
Well, it's hard to wrap your mind around that.
Sure.
It's just weird.
But we went there.
And we bought it.
And they look good, don't they?
And if we die
we
from
all know
food
why.
Poisoning, we'll come back and do the show as ghosts.
All because of the hardware store shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like how I described them? A little bag of corpses?
It was not inaccurate. Just different.
It was different. It was. I didn't say it was a corpse of a person. It was just a corpse of a shrimp that we'll gladly enjoy with some cocktail sauce over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Yeah, that was our day so far.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And they were a damn good buy.
Okay.
I will say that. They were a very good buy.
Are you done talking about food?
I'd like to talk more about the shrimp for another. Maybe some quiche. We did buy some quiche today.
Okay.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Amy from Pennsylvania. I have a rather scary shadow person story to tell. I live in a townhouse. It's about 80 years old. I was out one night. This happened to my dad. And he's not a believer in the paranormal whatsoever, but this changed his mind. So, I come home. I was actually at a class to learn about ghost investigating. I came home and I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we had a ghost? And he says, well, we do. And I said, no, you're full of it. And he said, no, I saw the shadow person tonight. I said, are you serious? You're full of it. And he said the shadow person went into my room. And he didn't want to tell me because it would scare me really bad, which it did. But after the initial shock of it, I wanted to hear details about the shadow person. So I made him tell me the story several times. The shadow person creeped up the steps. He was watching his sports and could see the landing at the top of the steps. So he creeped up, the ghost creeped up the steps. Dad looked and saw the black figure standing there. Now, what was interesting to hear was that he said the shadow figure was distinctly female. And I've not heard any other caller say they have seen a female figure. So, the figure was very small, about 4'11 to 5 foot. It creeped in real slow and goes into my room, which is why he didn't want to say anything, because he knew I would be frightened. And I heard that, and I said, oh, swear word. But, yeah, that's the story. He said the ghost, or the shadow person, whatever it was, had a hooded robe on, and was a small, petite female ghost, or shadow person. I still don't know what it would have been. It was solid black, and it just creeped in my room, was looking around, looked side, and then it just kind of disappeared. So that's my story. I hope you like it. Keep up the good work. And I love the program. Been listening for about a year, and I hope to become an EVP for Christmas. Thanks.
You know, I've never thought about it, but she's right. I would say 99% of our stories about shadow people are presumed to be a male presence.
Sure.
We don't really talk about female shadow people.
I think this is us being sexist on shadow people.
You know, it's weird. I don't know why that is. I don't know if those are just the ones that are more frightening. I don't know, but I'd never thought about that.
I don't think it's necessarily anyway being sexist. I just think it's one of those innate things. When you think of dark, foreboding, ghostly figure, most of the time you're probably going to picture that as a male.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I think, our us being human, instinctual,
yeah,
is what we would view that as far as a threatening character.
Mm-hmm.
And shadow people even more so, because we can't see necessarily any other features on that to determine male or female,
mm-hmm,
origin. And it's one of those things where I keep fighting the battle of the shadow people, saying not all shadow people are bad.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's an individual basis. I think there's a lot of ghosts that's just how they project themselves. And they're just as innocent as you will for being a ghost, and probably not negative in any way, shape, or form. They're just there.
Yeah.
And it's just how it's being projected. So, but it's understandable for someone to have that instinctual reaction to think that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, Brisky family. I'm calling again with another encounter, and has nothing to do with my childhood. So you had a caller or a person email you from South Elgin. I lived in South Elgin. In South Elgin, Illinois, for a while, with a few roommates. And when we were in the house, my roommates always felt like there was a weird feeling about this house. So we were, living in this house at the point that a buddy of mine's family had owned, and it was going through a foreclosure process, so we just all kind of lived there to save up some money, because they weren't making any payments to it. They were, you know, dealing with foreclosure in their family. But I lived on the room, one of the rooms in the second, technically third story, and then my other buddy, he lived in the basement. And there was always this room in the basement. It had the weirdest feeling. and it had a screwdriver through a lock. Nobody ever went in there, and you could see into the room. But that room wasn't the one that had the weird feeling. And there was another one, and there were some boards that were kind of pried apart, kind of like a A-like, you know, kind of little angle, kind of similar to like the letter A. And it always felt like something like staring at something. And so we had a few weird things that happened. One night, I slept alone on the third story. My buddy slept on the first story. The second story was kind of like this weirdish type. It was really just technically two rooms, small rooms. And then my other buddy lived in the basement. And he always felt like it was perfectly fine. He didn't feel like there was anything going on. But me and our other roommate, we just kind of were a little off about it. But, you know, he said, I don't know, you know, the roommate whose parents owned the house, they had lived there so long. He's like, just, you know, don't worry about it. And one day, my roommate comes up and he goes, dude, can you turn down your music or your TV show, whatever it is, trying to sleep. And like, I don't have anything playing. I just got my headphones on. And he's like, okay, so someone was talking really loud up in the room. And I don't know. I figured it was you, but maybe I'm just hearing things. Or maybe it's the guy that lives in the basement. So we went down. He wasn't even there. He was off at work. And then about 20, 30 minutes later, him and I had passed out, and we woke up, and he bolted up the stairs, and I came out of my room at just about the same time we crossed the hallway, and somebody had been slamming the attic door. And it was just all these weird, ominous feelings in that house. No dog bites or anything like that. That would have been interesting. But we were moving. We were taking, you know, things that we could. The rest of it we were just leaving for it to, you know, whatever the bank could deal with. But I went into that room to help him move out of two old-fashioned pinball machines. And there was another room inside there that had a padlock on it that was rusted. And I asked him what happened to that room. He goes, "Well, that room's just not there." And I come to talk with his girlfriend about it. They had that room open, and someone was always banging the door. But yeah, and I was like, "Well, apparently they moved to the attic." Yeah, that was very strange. Right? All right, guys. Well, I thought I'd share that story with you. So, yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. It's interesting that it got so bad that they just consider the room not to even be there.
Yeah, that was the thing that I really took away from that story. I don't know how much of my house I could sacrifice to keep a spirit happy.
You just get to the point of like, well, it's not there. Just brick it off.
That room's not there. We've had stories where people have found rooms that were closed off for mm-hmm. one reason or another, and like curtains were still hanging in that room and everything. It was just as it was.
Something pretty bad would have to be going on to completely, shut off a room. I mean, you see that obviously like in older movies and horror, like, oh my gosh, there's a hidden room here we didn't realize was there.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, that actually does happen sometimes.
Sure.
We had a story like a while ago, and this is me trying to have a recollection on something, where there was like a whole floor that they couldn't get into?
Yes, the third floor.
Yeah.
And once they got up there, they found all kinds of, like, it looked like torture devices, but they were, I think, butcher's equipment.
God.
no reason it should be on the third floor of a residence. So, yeah.
Was this a house they bought? I mean, I know I'm asking a detailed question from a long time ago.
I remember stories better than you do.
You do.
They didn't buy it. They were renting there, but they packed up and left.
It's not. That's an odd question to go to your landlord with when you find that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can we meet? Yeah. So wanted to just say, hey, you know, we think the stove, you know, it's kind of acting up, the third burner on the right. It's just, can we get that looked at? Also, what's the deal with all of the torture equipment up in the third floor that were that you had bricked off that we're not supposed to ever know exists?
And that particular house was way out in the country.
Yeah.
So I could see, you know, if it was on a farm, them doing their own butchering of animals and stuff.
But, sure.
But not like up on the third floor of a house.
No, that's the bizarre part.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of, you know, places where that equipment would be acceptable,
mm-hmm.
In that setting. Third floor of the residence, little bit odd.
Especially since that particular part of the house had been blocked off for who knows how long.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little strange.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. My name is Carla. I wrote in earlier this afternoon. I was satisfied with what I wrote. So I wanted to give you guys a call. I would not consider myself sensitive. I mean, I've gotten, you know, bad feelings about places and things throughout my life, and I had some experience with a Ouija board when I was, you know, a teenager. I was very active. But I've always been interested in the paranormal, but I've never really had an experience until 3 years ago. My 11-and-a-half-year-old son took an accidental overdose of pain medication and passed away in his bed. And I went to wake him and found him. This was obviously so devastating. And I haven't been able, I've been back in his room twice, but it's just kind of like PTSD. I can't, that's all I can see when I go in there. So I don't, but I've had some, you know, I think I've had interactions with him. He's a couple times I got phone calls from his cell, like 6 months after we'd had it canceled. I would look at my phone and it would tell me that Bennett was calling, and I would answer and there would be no one there. And there were a set of fingerprints on the ottoman made out of candle wax. And he loved to play in my candles, and I would always fuss at him about that. So I thought, you know, that's just his way of letting me know that he's around. We also had some incidents of, like, the dog's kennel coming open and things in the middle of the night. And I just kind of talked to him and said, you know, please don't do that anymore, and it stopped. And sometimes I feel him really strongly, like I said, it's been devastating. But and I've started to feel better and be at peace with it until the other day, my daughter, she's 16, they were incredibly close. They were 22 months and 2 days apart. And she said, you know, I had this thing happen last night. She said, I heard crying. And I thought it was you. And then she said, I realized that it was Bennett. She said, I recognized it. And then she said, something stood up from the foot of the bed, from the floor at the foot of the bed, and walked toward the door. And then she heard him say, goodbye, Sissy, I love you. And she said she just lay there. And she said, in a little while, she felt the bed dip, and she felt something crawl up and lay down beside her in the spot where he used to lie when they would take naps together. And I firmly believe this is him, but crying is so upsetting. I've talked to two mediums. One said that he was in the light, and one said that he wasn't and he needed to go. They both said that he obviously has a strong attachment to me and doesn't want to leave. And that's very concerning to me. I want him to be at peace. He had a really difficult life. He suffered from depression and some other mental illnesses. And I just hate the thought of him not being at peace. So if you or Jenny or anyone else out there has any suggestions as to what I might do or what I could do to help him, or what I've never had like physical contact with him, and that would just be a dream for me to have, you know, to experience it like that. But anyway, I appreciate your show, and I'm an EPP, and thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing your story with us, and of course, there's really nothing we can say to try and make that sort of pain go away. That I can't imagine that, other than obviously our condolences there. It's interesting where she's talking about him being at peace, and I'm wondering if, you know, with that connection there,
mm-hmm.
with, you know, him obviously, you know, seemingly wanting to be by mom, even on the other side, we can obviously refer a lot of things in reference to people that we've talked to, like encouraging them to go to the light by just simply saying it. There's yeah. different things, and people can make suggestions if you'd like on our forum section. But I'm going to take this from a different perspective of maybe he is at peace
mm-hmm.
there in his current state. You know, maybe he's out of the pain now, and he is at peace being able to be by you and almost kind of watch over, if you will. And maybe his lot, if you will, in the afterlife for the time being is to essentially be with you still, be your angel, be whatever you want to call it, but still, you know, be a presence there. And maybe his time to cross over is going to be later in your life when you get older and pass yourself. Right. You know, maybe he's there to watch over you and be with you as you grow old.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the feeling I'm getting here, because I maybe there's parts to the story that we're unaware of, but I didn't get a whole lot of he's frustrated.
No, I think honestly, and I'm taking a big leap in speaking for her, but I would imagine that the thought that he was unhappy only came when she heard her daughter heard the crying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's probably what is concerning her the most, is wanting to see if he is sure. happy or not in the afterlife. I mean, of course, nobody's going to be thrilled that they are dead and their loved ones are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think her concern as a mother is knowing that your child is upset and not
sure.
being able to do anything to fix it.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he's just sorrowful. And that's how some of the ghosts that we talk about are. They're, you know, they miss being
mm-hmm.
alive, but maybe, like you said, his happiest outcome right now
mm-hmm.
is to stay close by
until he is ready to
mm-hmm.
to pass. Maybe it's not something that he's ready to do, or is not meant to do at this point, and he's still there in his spirit form,
mm-hmm.
if you will. So, I mean, obviously, no one is going to know the true answer to that. And no one is going to have, you know, the right or perfect advice for this situation. But there's a lot of things you can look at in either direction, and it's about the perspective that you have on it. There are certainly things you can attempt and perform to ask and help direct his spirit to cross over, if that's what he wants to do ultimately, because there's times people try that and they still don't work.
Right.
And there's also the thought process of just kind of making peace with that he may just, that's what he wants right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we always talk about it. We want them to cross. Maybe they don't want to cross yet.
Sure.
You know, maybe that's what we think we want for them. And that's kind of us almost pushing our desires onto someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just like in real life, you know, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, but maybe they don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's a reason that they're still there. So something to think about. But thank you for the story. We greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I just wanted to say, first of all, that I love your show. I've had many experiences myself, and I've been trying to work up the courage to call and share with you guys. The story I want to share today isn't actually one of the experiences I originally wanted to share with you guys, but I was inspired to call by another caller on your show who called in a few episodes ago. Someone had called in, I think his name was Peter, and he was telling a story about a rest stop located on the highway that travels from Canada all the way down to the west coast of the U.S. I think he said it was the first or second rest stop from Vancouver to Seattle that he had seen a man at, and he had just disappeared. I decided to call in because I think this may have been the same rest stop that I've had a weird and possibly paranormal experience at. So about 4 to 5 years ago, I was really into the Seattle music scene, and I used to travel back and forth from where I live in Vancouver to Seattle all the time. Because I was making late night trips to go catch the gigs in Seattle, I was often driving back really late at night, and so I'd often have to stop at a rest stop to sleep before making the rest of my way home. This one particular night, me and my friend Ashley were driving back from the show, and we decided to stop somewhere for some sleep. I should mention that me and my friend Ashley are both fairly sensitive when it comes to the paranormal. Just thought I should mention it. Even though we were pretty close to the border, we were getting really tired that we didn't think it would be safe to drive the rest of the way home. So we stopped at what I think is the second to last rest stop from the Canadian border. So as I said before, we'd slept in the car countless times. This wasn't out of the ordinary. We've done these trips all the time. But it was our first time sleeping at this rest stop because it was just so close that we normally wouldn't stop that close to home. So we parked and we pulled out blankets from the trunk that I used to keep in there, and we just went right to sleep as we normally would do. And throughout the night, while my friend was fast asleep, I kept being awoken by the sound of something tapping on my window. The first few times I would sit up and I'd look around and there'd be nobody there. So after about 3 or 4 times of this happening, I decided it must just be like the wind or something blowing a branch against the car and just making that sound. I tried to ignore it, but it just kept happening. So after a couple of hours, I finally just got fed up and I sat up again, and I saw a dark shadow in the shape of a person standing right outside my passenger window. My first instinct was to start the car so I could get away in a hurry. I always sleep with the keys in the ignition just in case anyone ever tried to carjack us or like whatever. Rest stops aren't the safest place in the world for two young girls to be sleeping in the middle of the night. So I used to always make sure that my keys were in the ignition so I could get away in a hurry if I could. So I started my car and my friend woke up and was like, "What are you doing? What's going on?" And I looked at her and I looked out the passenger window again and the guy was gone. And so I tried to tell her that someone outside, they've been tapping on our windows for hours. And she says, "What are you talking about? Like, I haven't heard anything. There's nobody out there." And despite me trying to stop her, she went outside to look around and she said, "There's nobody there. Everyone that was at the rest stop was asleep in their cars, you know, just doing exactly what we were doing." So I thought, well, you know what, maybe I was just half dreaming. Maybe I was half asleep and I woke up and I saw something that really wasn't there. Maybe it was just the wind blowing a branch or whatever. So after that, we just went right back to sleep and nothing else happened. I didn't hear anything else until my friend woke me up, like she like bolted out of her sleep. And I was like, "Whoa, what's going on, man?" And she's like, "I had like the weirdest dream that we were here at this rest stop and a bunch of monks came and they were all trying to bless the land here." And she said the monks in her dream were urging us to leave because the sun was tainted and it was dangerous and that we shouldn't be here. And so between that and the window tapping and seeing that shadow person, I just decided, you know what, it's like 5 in the morning, we should just go home. So we just took to the road and we just left and we went home. And we had gone to Seattle, you know, many times before and after this, and we never ever stopped at this rest stop again, no matter how tired we were once we got there. I thought, like, you know, we talked about it on the way home. We thought, like, maybe there was a gas leak or something in the car that just kind of made us not right in the head, and I don't know, like maybe we both just were affected by something to do with the car, but I don't know, we took many trips in that same car afterwards, and never at any other restaurant that I've ever had an experience like this. So I sort of didn't really think about this story again after that, besides avoiding that rest stop. This really hasn't affected my life too much, but after hearing your other listeners call, I'm wondering if it might be the same rest stop or the same entity that was tapping on the window. So I just thought that was kind of interesting, and I thought I should call and share it. Sorry if I spoke really fast and really nervous. I'm not good at talking on the phone. But anyways, I love the podcast. I do have lots of other stories, so I hope that after this I'll have a little bit more courage to call in and share those. And thank you to the caller who shared their story and inspired me to call in and share mine. Love you guys. Bye.
What do you think? Same ghost?
I don't know about that, but I have to say, I can't tell you why, but I feel like something was protecting them and trying to keep them from falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe protecting them from something else
living
that was about to happen.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like she said, two young girls at a rest stop, that's probably not the best option, but I almost feel like it was trying to keep them awake to make them want to go home or go somewhere else.
Yeah, I think sometimes the living are a lot scarier than the dead, and sometimes the dead intervene and help us be more aware of the living.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because we assume the opposite, but I think sometimes it happens that way.
Yeah.
And that may be just what happened in that situation. I find almost all rest stops to be very creepy. I don't know why. Even like the more beautiful ones, the ones that are a little more scenic, I still get an uneasy feeling at rest stops. I don't care how many vending machines you have, or trees, or prairies, or meadows, or reindeer off in the distance. They still creep me out.
Okay.
I don't know why. Have you ever felt like, oh, this is a wonderful place to picnic?
I don't know. There's too many bad stories that happened. It all started at a rest stop.
That's true. And maybe it's just innate in us now from all of, you know, movies and culture. And I mean, obviously there's real bad things that have happened. But then, of course, it's also played up in mm-hmm. movies and such as well. I've always wondered, I can't recall ever seeing anyone sitting under the awning at a rest stop using one of those grills that they have like propped up there for anyone to use.
No.
And everyone just having a jolly good time. If I've ever seen anyone at a rest stop sitting under the awning at all, they look fairly miserable and frustrated.
And they're smoking a cigarette.
And they're smoking or something of some sort. And they just don't look to be all in that keen of a, hey, let's have a barbecue mode.
I've never seen anybody do that. Now, I'm sure there's people that do you know, have no problem, but I've just never seen anybody actually like having a recreational time
at
the rest stop.
You know, I believe those things are there for the most part for folks who are like traveling in campers and stuff, so they can stop, and if they want to use it, they can. But I've seen many rest stops where there's plenty of campers parked. No, nobody's using those things.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just a piece of a bygone era
mm-hmm.
that is no longer really so much in use because everybody packs their own things and they don't want to use the community grill because nobody knows what the hell was last grilled on the community grill. Or sacrificed on it, but
that's
855-853-4802 is their phone number. You want to see a creepy campground? It's not a rest stop, but in around in our area here in the Wichita metro area, there's a what used to be the big events center, if you will. It used to be called the Kansas Coliseum.
Yeah.
And it is now, I believe, the Wichita State owns it, and it's some part of the aerospace program, I believe.
The
building is. And it's no longer like the big, arena. That's where concerts were and all that. But right next to it, one of the options for travelers when they came to the show, there was literally a campground mm-hmm. attached to this thing. And that's something I've seen a lot of event centers and a lot of arenas, never seen a campground attached to it. And it's literally a full-blown campground. It's not like, hey, go park your trailers over here. It is a campground. It has stalls. It has grills. It has, like, outhouses. It has everything.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it's no longer a functioning arena, This is like the overground campground from The Walking Dead.
Well, that's what they use it for now. That's where they have the annual zombie run.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
Oh, God. Well, they have perfect place for it now.
Yeah, and I honestly don't know if they had one this year. I know there was an issue with people hitting the zombies. So they, I think, maybe have decided not to do that anymore, but that's where they had it.
Oh, and right across the street, literally, is a tiny little also abandoned cemetery. So
yeah.
it really has a wonderful setting for a horror movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they did the zombie run there. That's great. I went to like a barbecue fest there a couple years ago. It's probably like 5-6 years ago. It was like the one of the only ones that our city was putting on at the time, and it was a competition of some sort. But it was laid out so bizarrely that like people were like in the stalls, but you had to really kind of walk a ways to get to each one, and no one had camped there forever. So it was really weird because you had all these like little huts that were serving this grilled meat in a zombie-like setting.
Ew.
And you were just kind of getting the weird feeling of, oh, I hope that's pork.
Terminus.
Exactly. Yuck. It was very Terminus-like. Hi, Megan, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Megan. I called a couple days ago and told you a story about Mrs. Jackson's house, and I thought it was so funny that Joni started singing the Outcast song because that's exactly what I was thinking about while I was telling the story, and I was trying to stay on track and keep the story going, so I don't know. That was just really funny. But this past week, since then, I've been listening to some of the older episodes, and I heard an episode about someone. It was kind of like a, I don't think y'all called it this, but a guardian angel type situation where, you know, someone was kind of saved from a bad situation. And it reminded me of something that happened to my mom probably like 20 years ago. And so I wanted to call and tell you guys the story because it's really cool. One night, my mom was driving back from a friend's house. She was driving home, and it was probably about 11:30 at night, maybe even midnight. And the roads that she was on were like country roads, but she was about to turn onto a main road that had like 4 lanes. So it was a pretty big road during the day, but at nighttime, it's dead. So she is coming off of the country road. She's about to turn right on a red light. And to her left is a hill. And anytime cars are coming, you kind of don't see them until they're right up on top of the hill. So it's not really safe to do, you know, to turn right on red there. But this was nighttime. There was barely anyone on the road. And she figured she'd be able to see their lights coming up over the hill so that she could probably just turn out and be safe. And she didn't see any lights, so she goes to turn out. She's taking her right turn, and all of a sudden, a car comes flying over the hill with no lights on and sideswipes her. Her car starts going, spinning around in circles. She doesn't even know how many times it happened, but the driver's side door was what got hit. Hold on, my dog's barking. Hush, Lou. And so she spins and spins and finally stops in a ditch. So half of her car is in the ditch, and the butt of her car is kind of sticking up towards the road. And she tried to get out on the driver's side but couldn't, so she climbs over to the passenger side seat, crawls. All this time, she's trembling and in complete shock of what just happened. And she walks around to the driver's side of the car, and she notices that there's no other car. I mean, she just got hit by a car, and that car didn't even stop. And it's really late at night. All the businesses around that area were closed for the evening. And this was before every single person had a cell phone, and she was not one of the people that had a cell phone, so she was like, crap, what am I going to do? I guess I just have to sit here and wait till a car passes by or I could walk. But she, at this point, needed to get her composure because her knees were trembling so bad. So she just kind of sat down beside the car and leaned up against it and just was trying to calm down. And she's sitting there, no one's around, and all of a sudden, in her peripherals, she sees this man walking up to her, and she looks over at him, and he's an older man, and he looks completely normal and nice, but it still made her nervous. 11 o'clock, a man's walking up to her, so she was just kind of like, hi, and he's like, hi, Amy, and he calls her by her name. She's never seen this man in her life, and he's like, are you okay? And she's like, I think so. I don't hurt yet, but I'm kind of scared and just shocked. So he stands her up and he twirls her around and kind of looks her up and down. And he says, it doesn't look like anything's too wrong. It doesn't look like you've injured yourself. And he said, I have those things that you light up and put them in the road to make sure other cars see it and don't hit you. Whatever they're called, sparklers. They're not sparklers, but you know what I'm saying. He pulls them out of his back pocket, lights them, puts them in the road, and he says, I'm going to go get you help. You stay right here. So she says, okay. And about this time when he starts walking away, she starts thinking, how did he know my name? Like, I've never seen this man in my life. Where did he come from? Why is he walking at 11 o'clock at night? And by the time she turned back around to call to him and say, hey, you know, I'm going to come with you, because she didn't want to sit there by herself, she was creeped out, he had disappeared. He was, like, not even there anymore. So she's sitting there confused and scared, but relieved that she was able to talk to someone. And a couple of minutes later, she hears sirens. And we don't know who this guy was, where he ended up going. There's no way that he could have disappeared and her, you know, not see him walk into a building or something, because it was a very long stretch of road. And he didn't go up the hill where he would have disappeared. He went the other direction. So it's just a really interesting story. The siren or the emergency people ended up getting there and checking her out. She wasn't injured. She asked who called 911, and they weren't really able to come up with that answer because they're not the dispatchers. They're just the emergency people. But it was just a really interesting thing, and we think it was her guardian angel. Anyways, that's the story. I thought it was really cool, and I wanted to share that with you guys. And also, I'm so excited to tell you all that my husband is getting me a year-long EPP membership. So I am going to be actually paying for all of this instead of just mooching and listening to all these great stories for free. I want to support you guys, and I'm so excited. But I hope you enjoyed this story, and I hope you guys have a good rest of your evening. Bye.
That is the gift that keeps on giving.
And it hopefully will never end.
Exactly. I mean, it's, I'll talk about that in a second, but yeah, I mean, what more disturbing thing could you have when some stranger coming up to you in the middle of the night or late at night, and they know your name?
Yeah, they know your name.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of think maybe like a guardian angel type spirit, but it's still creepy.
It's not, I mean, in this story, yes, I mean, ultimately it turns out like that,
mm-hmm.
but initially, no matter, I don't care who's coming up to you, that's going to be a little bit unsettling.
Oh, sure.
So, thank you for the story. Honestly, I've had so many people in the past couple of weeks say to me, I'm asking my significant other for an EPP membership for Christmas. And it's awesome. That's great. I mean, it's a cool gift. I mean, obviously, you get a full year of EPP bonus episodes. And if you sign up right now, you get a bonus month out of that as well. So you're paying for 12 months. You're paying for 11 months and getting 12 months out of it. So there you go. If you're looking for that unique gift for the paranormal lover in your life,
mm-hmm.
get them an EPP membership. And I can guarantee they'll be like, oh, my God. Even if they don't know the show, if they like paranormal things, chances are you're going to make them very happy. And you'll make us happy, too, because we'll get a new listener out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, that helps grow the show. So sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. You know how to do that. Let's go to Bella. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Bella from South Florida. I've been listening to your show for a few months now. I just found it around Halloween, and I really like it. It's great. I listen to it on my walks, which I do in the daytime now instead of at night like I used to. So thanks for that. My story actually takes place when I was much younger, about 8 or 9 years old. And at that time, we were living in Northwest Arkansas. My family was, because I had a lot of family out there. And so we would go and visit for long stretches of time. And my aunt, who lived out there, was on the board of this beautiful old house from the 1870s, I believe. It was just gorgeous. But they had it restored, and they would hold tours and galas and things like that. And so we all got invited to the Christmas gala, my family did. And I do have to say, this house is definitely known for being haunted, but the time that we were there, it wasn't a Halloween tour or anything. It was just the Christmas party for stuffy old rich people. So me and my little brother, who was about 5, and my mom and my dad went to the Christmas gala, and then afterwards they were giving tours of the house. And by this time my little brother was tired and bored, so my dad took him outside to play, and my mom and I went on the tour. And we, you know, we were walking around looking at all the rooms. I didn't remember noticing anything weird or creepy. And then we walked into the downstairs smoking room, which is where the men of the house would go after dinner to smoke cigars and drink whiskey and talk about manly things. And according to my mother, we walk into the room and I immediately start crying and saying the man is angry, I have to leave. So, not very fun for my mom. What I remember seeing, and I have to say that I didn't really know it was a ghost at first. It sounds weird. I knew nobody else could see the man that I was seeing, but I didn't think he was a ghost. I don't know what I was thinking. But I saw a tall man with sideburns, you know, the Civil War looking sideburns, and kind of funny looking clothes. It was all a long time ago. I don't really remember. And he was standing by the fireplace in the room, just glaring at me, like flat out. Oh, he was so angry. And I was a very, very sensitive child, not to ghosts or anything, but just I would cry anytime I got in trouble or yelled at or did something wrong. And so that's why I started crying, because I felt like a grown-up was mad at me. I was in trouble. I was somewhere I was not supposed to be. He didn't say anything, but that was the feeling I got, was I was not supposed to be in there. And so I started crying. My mom took me outside to see my dad, and I just waited out there. And that was it for that. I mean, we went back a few other times, and I never had any other experiences that strong. But my mom did, which I may call in and tell you another time. But, oh gosh, I'm getting shaky just now. But, yeah, that's about it. I guess, looking back, I don't think he was malevolent or anything. I think that's just all it was he saw this little girl in his men's smoking room, and he was like, what are you doing here? Get out. Go back to the nursery. So, you know, if you feel like using my story, that would be great. I love your show, and I ask to become an EPP for Christmas. And if I don't, then I will probably be signing up. So have a great day. Bye.
Santa's going to be hopefully fulfilling a lot of EPP memberships this year. That's interesting. It sounds like there's he's just playing the role that he would if he were alive in death.
You know, it is something that I haven't really thought about, and that is, as a kid, you try and, well, at least most kids, I would think, try and mind adults and, you know, not want to make adults be mad at them,
sure.
Like what she was describing. And I thought, how confusing is that when you're seeing a ghost who is obviously the ghost of an adult, and you feel like you have to mind them?
Yeah. It makes you wonder how many ghosts you saw as a child that were trying to, like, direct you or not put you in line, but you know, guide you a certain way. Like, wandering around a store and you can't find, is that your mom right over there? Yeah, it is. Okay, great. And you go on over to your mom. I'm sure most of the time it's just a human being kind and doing the right thing. But, you know, children, you know, it's like her stray cats. You know, sometimes you need, you know, there's a lot of, you know, extra pushing that needs to be done to get them to go in a certain direction.
Yes.
And you know, responsible adults kind of act as the bumpers for that to keep them going and keep them with who they're supposed to be with. But every once in a while, there may not be that person there to get them in that right direction. And then you wonder, well, did something else show up? And you wouldn't even know it. Half right. the time, unless something else points it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That term mind.
What?
That's an interesting one, because I totally know what it means, but it's something we never used in my house growing up.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. I mean, mind your manners. I would hear that, but I never heard the term mind, like you need to mind me, meaning listen to me.
Oh, you know? See, I heard that all the time. Not sure. Because I didn't listen, but that was just...
Sure. It's a family thing. I don't know if it's... Is it a regional thing? Is it like... Is it more of a southern term than a northern term? I don't know.
I don't know either. But I know my mom always... You better mind me.
Sure. I always just heard, you know, you better listen to me.
Okay.
And it's nothing wrong with it. It's just one of those things where... Because you say that a lot, and I say listen a lot. And it's like every time... like I almost have to be like a kid, like, what does that mean? Oh, yeah. Because it's just something that unless you know you have it ingrained in you, like you did, you know, it's an interesting thing as our cultures collide.
Yes.
Let's go over to this caller here. Hi.
Hey, Brewskis. I'm a new listener, and I wanted to give you two of the more weirder stories that happened to me. The first one is happened to me when I was in high school. I had a Ford Fairmont Futura from my uncle. It was this car that nobody wanted. I don't know if it was haunted or not. I don't know if that's even a thing, a haunted car. But long story short, I had a tire in the trunk of this thing that needed to get air put in it. And my dad said, if I came home without the tire, without the air put in the spare, he was going to kill me. And I'd been dragging my feet on it, and he was like, you gotta do it. So, went to the gas station after school, lined up the trunk with the air hose thing, the nozzle, get out, open the trunk, and there's no tire. And I was like, oh, whatever, somebody's playing a trick on me, but maybe, you know, maybe it's still in there. So I'm sticking my head in the trunk, I'm putting my hands inside of the wheel well where the tire should be, and... I'm really looking. I'm thinking maybe I'm missing something, and he was really insistent upon it being in there. And anyway, I'm really trying to find this tire, and I'm like, I guess I'm not an idiot, and there is no tire, and there's no like secret compartment or anything. So I drive straight home, and then I get to the house. My dad's there, and of course he wants to know if I put the air in the tire, and I said it's not in there. And he was so pissed. I said, Dad, it's not in there. And then he goes, open that thing up. And I opened it up, and it was sitting right there. I don't know what happened. And to this day, my friends make fun of me, and I tell them the story. But I know I put my hands in the space where the tire was, and it never left my company. There was never an opportunity for somebody to sneakily put this tire back in there. But... the car was really old and just creepy anyway. So maybe it was a haunted car. I don't know. But the second story is my wife at the time and I were at a bar in Maryland on the Sassafras River, and it's a pretty historic and creepy place anyway. And we're having dinner, and we're having some drinks, and we're just hanging out. And she says, man, my stomach is really bothering me. I could use like an antacid or something. And I said, oh, that's, you know, whatever. Well, maybe we can get like a seltzer or something like that. Well, we're facing each other, and in between both of us, we see distinctly a moth, a golden moth, spiral down just like a corkscrew, like you would see a moth like flying around a light. And it hits her right in the shoulder and falls on the ground. And we watched this happen, and then we both looked down, and it's not a moth, it's an antacid packet that is unopened. And it could not have been thrown because it was spiraling, and it just hit her and fell on the ground. And I don't know what to say. I mean, we both witnessed it, and we both talked about, like, did you see that? And she's like, yeah, I saw it. And we were talking about it, and we both saw the same thing. And I have no explanation for those two things. And are they ghost-related? I don't know. But they're both freaky and weird, and I thought that you guys would have much more to say about these events than I know anything about. So I'm open to your opinion. Love you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I think that's too funny with the antacid packet. Like, here you go.
It's trying to give you a sign. I don't know what that sign is, but it's a sign of some sort.
Yeah, that's funny.
I don't know what to make of it.
I have, you know, going back to the tire part of the story, you know, there's been times where I cannot see something that's in plain sight right in front of me. Just for whatever reason, I can't find it, and it's right there.
Sure.
But nothing ever as big as a tire, you know.
To have it there and not there.
Yes.
Or not there and there, really, in that order. You know, it's one of those things where you may not necessarily know the reason or the meaning behind some of these things as to why they happen. I think sometimes when things like that happen, and it has to do with timing, and this is just my opinion on it, where maybe there's a reason that held you back. I mean, you may not even realize it held you back by a couple seconds from getting on with your day and doing something. You know, maybe that extra second of, well, what's going on? Why is this there? And it took that time to realize, oh, it's there.
Right.
That maybe there was some reason, you know, if you had been there and gone on with your day, maybe you would have gone to a car accident. Mm-hmm. Maybe this would have happened. Maybe that would have happened. And for whatever reason, fate or whatever you want to call it, knew that wasn't your time to go. But had you continued down that path that day without some sort of distraction or something happening to interrupt that path, something would have happened. Mm-hmm. And this kept you on where it wanted you to go. Make sense?
It boggles the mind, but yes, it makes sense.
It's one of those things that you'll never really know the answer to.
No.
But you have to wonder sometimes. I mean, it's like where if you're ever close to seeing an accident and you go, oh my God, if I had been like 5 seconds sooner, that would have been me right there.
Mm-hmm.
Or later, or whatever you want to call it. You know, and you just wonder, well, then you think back on your day and like, well, if I wouldn't have stopped to read that text at home, or I didn't stop to look at that ad that was sitting on the whatever, you know,
right.
I would have been there.
Yeah.
And why did I do, you know, then you start questioning everything. It's just one of those things, you live your life and these things just tend to happen and it's really beyond your control.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okay.
That's my explanation for it, kids. 855-853-4802, our phone number. If you like our show, please consider becoming an EPP. If you already are an EPP and you have the paranormal lover in your life and you know how good that EPP stuff is, that's a good gift, as you are well aware, and lots of folks given that this year. So it helps support our show, helps get more folks listening to us. So think of that for maybe a cool, unique Christmas present this year. Sign up on, I don't know why I just sounded like that.
I don't know
Christmas
either.
Christmas present this year? Like a little Mrs. Doubtfire or something?
I guess so.
I don't know, sweetie. I can't do that one either. Anyway, sign up, keep us on the air, realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski and whatever other personality I have behind me that I'm unaware of, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.